This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
You can play the game and you can act out the part, though you know it wasn't written for you. Tell me, how can you stand there with your broken heart, ashamed of playing a fool? But one thing can lead to another. It doesn't take any sacrifice. Oh, father and mother, sister and brother, if it feels nice, don't think twice. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna work out fine if you only will.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you, Sandy, the music.
Well, yeah, this is music Barack Obama selected for his first inauguration in 2009, after his 2008 election, and it all had to do with what was going on then, but lots of it's apropos now. So anyway, I decided we were coming up on an inauguration, I'd revert to the music of an inauguration that I found quite exciting.
So when we're talking about an inauguration that we're coming up on, we've been talking about Elon Musk and those kind of things, but there's certainly the financial markets are jittery about Donald Trump and Elon Musk. And when you read the fact that the financial markets are a little jittery at a time, Sandy, that we're in this kind of growth period, man, what are we... Why are they jittery?
Well, you know, it's interesting, but the Democratic administrations tend to hand the Republicans very strong economies. Barack Obama handed Donald Trump a very strong growing economy when Trump was elected in 2016. Biden has now handed Trump a very strong economy. But the policies that Trump is announced, obviously have the financial community worried. And one of the ways that you can see that is that the interest rate, that's the yield, as it's called, on 10-year bonds is going up rather dramatically, and it threatens to exceed 5%. Now, why does the yield on 10-year maturity bonds go up? Well, it goes up because the financial community thinks there's going to be inflation. They think that prevailing interest rates are going to be higher in the future than they are now. And why do they think that? Well, they think that because Donald Trump's announced policies threaten to be inflationary. They threaten to basically reverse the ongoing trend now toward reducing interest rates and reduced inflation. And they actually threaten something that could be called stagflation. If we have a recession amidst a time of increasing inflation, we end up with stagflation, which was a bitter pill for the American economy to swallow in the late 1970s and early 1980s. And it could well be a bitter pill to swallow now. So, you know, the financial community ultimately is a pretty sterile thought process. It's dealing with money, and it can't really afford to be ideological. So in spite of the fact that many of the people who manage money might be Republicans who voted for Trump, many of them are now worried about what the Trump presidency could mean for the investments and the investment world.
Here's what. So the average Tom, Dick, and Mary does not know the inner workings of the financial institutions and all of that, because it's so involved and so above our pay grades. But in the end, those things are going to trickle down and mete out more pain to the people who struggle every day.
One of the problems with the business cycle, unless it ends up being a very deep recession or depression, is that the victims of the business cycle are Tom, Dick, and Mary. It isn't the wealthy who have plenty of buffer money to absorb. If someone has $50 million and the stock market goes down 20%, they have $40 million left, which is plenty, right? They aren't suffering.
Right.
And so the people who suffer are Tom, Dick, and Mary in a business cycle. So the management of this money does make a difference, okay? And the management of our financial world makes a difference, because when we have a recession, the main people who suffer are Tom, Dick, and Mary, and they may be the people who run a mutual fund which doesn't do as well as another mutual fund, lose their job, but they are probably sitting on a cushion of millions of dollars in the bank. So it's a little bit like the managers of a baseball club. You feel sorry for them when they get fired, but they always get another job, and meanwhile they make a ton of money. What the financial community thinks about the incoming president will matter to Tom, Dick, and Mary, to the extent that it has an impact on the economy that is damaging to the average American.
So, Sandy, I haven't read anything about anybody predicting wine and roses with the Trump presidency. And it's at a time while the average American continues to struggle. And so what happens while that safety net, at the same time, Sandy, they're going to dismantle. We've been talking about the fact that Joe Biden tried to strengthen the safety net because he saw what was taking place. But we're talking about now people who are looking to dismantle the safety net even more at a time when doom and gloom seems to be on the way.
I mean, the problem is that the policies that the government is looking at implementing, to the extent that they have an impact on the average citizen, probably will be damaging to them. Some of them, the carrot that Donald Trump is hanging out in this promise to extend the tax reduction, as he promises now to stop taxing tip income, which is a cockamamie policy. I mean, the idea that tip income is a different sort of income that shouldn't be taxed will distort our economy. It will turn us into a tip economy. You know, when the plumber comes to your house, he's going to tell you that the charge for the work he did is only $75 for today, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And I'll be glad to come back to your house next time you have a problem if you give me a big tip. These kind of things have all kinds of collateral impacts sociologically and economically. And the notion that tip income shouldn't be taxed is simply throwing a seductive bone to a group of workers who rely on tips, and incidentally is a benefit to the people who employ those people. So Donald Trump works in an income, and most of his businesses are based upon service people who enjoy getting tips. Well, if your employees get tips that are worth more to them, you can pay them less of a fixed income, and you can let your customer base pick up the tab. And that's really what Donald Trump's all about here. This is once again Donald Trump looking out for his own interest and pretending he's doing something for the average.
You know, Sandy, you're talking about which is almost a certainty, Sandy. If Donald Trump was really concerned about
the Todd Alba Show,
what's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025, have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jade, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do, apparently,
a proportionate manner to the level of benefit that's realized by the wealthy who get the tax reductions or get the favored policies. And so, yeah, we're ending up with a government that's going to be run by the wealthy for the wealthy, and they'll pay lip service to the average citizen, suggesting that when they do better, we will do better. But that's a fiction.
So let me suggest this. Almost 50% of the American people don't vote because they don't believe there's anything in which voting changes anything for them. Now we just had another 50% of the people vote, and that was split down the middle. And so, you know, half of the people believed that, you know, the Democrats didn't do anything for them, and they were left out and forgotten, and now they voted for the other side of it. And people who call themselves, so what's the difference, Sandy, between the MAGA and the conservative? Or is there a difference?
Well, conservative, these words are all about semantics. Semantics are all about what is the meaning behind the word. But conservative has always been premised on some sort of ideological values. Libertarian conservative, libertarians are people who are for small government and for very little intrusion by government. Fiscal conservatives, people who believe in something closer to balanced budget kind of operations, and that has been the basic channel for what has been called conservative. But all of that has been having free trade. That's another conservative value, not having tariffs to interrupt the flow of goods, and all of these things have now been kind of thrown asunder. Donald Trump was not a fiscal conservative during his presidency. He, up to the time of his presidency, his 4 years, created more national debt during that time period than any four-year presidency prior to him. So he's not a fiscal conservative, and he's not a conservative in any of the other manners as well. And so what does conservative mean? I mean, I think that there are those who would say that they remain conservatives ideologically and are separated from the Republican Party today because it is no longer conservative. Adam Kunzinger would certainly say that. Mitt Romney would certainly say that. This whole concept of a rhino, a Republican in name only. Kunzinger would accuse the MAGA Republicans of being Republicans in name only, that they are not abiding by any of the values
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy the Music.
Yeah, this is Barack Obama's inauguration, his curation of music for his inauguration in 2009. And I like the music he selected, and I happen to be a fan of his.
Sandy, Trump's lawyers ask Attorney General to block outgoing special counsel's report reporting to classified documents and election interference cases is due to be released by Jack Smith. I think Sandy, I can only speak for myself, and I am nauseated with our legal system and double standards that exist. Double standards always existed in the system. But when you look at the things that are taking place here, and that Donald Trump can and his lawyers can make threats to legal counsels, this is your wheelhouse, Sandy. You understand the courts and laws and all of those things, but we as average citizens are held accountable for things that we do, and we expect that to be across the board. How can there be a democracy if the changes, we do know that people who have money can kind of skirt the laws, but the fact that the average person gets held accountable, what does that say about our democracy?
Well, I mean, the Supreme Court set the wheels in motion with their immunity discussion and putting the president potentially above the law. But, we have this concept of transparency in government. This Freedom of Information Act was passed to try and make sure that the media in particular, but every citizen could get access to whatever it is the government was doing that wasn't necessarily top secret, so that they could understand what's going on. And it seems to me that this is just that kind of a circumstance. We've got, there's no public policy that would suggest that what a special prosecutor does is necessarily sacred and secret. And therefore it should be public. It should be public like all of the other things that happen in our government. And things that are sealed by the court are subject to contest, and are, the notion of what it is that should be secret in a court proceeding is a relatively strict standard. So, I would expect that this will get released, number one. Number two, that a court will not intervene to keep it from happening, and that sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. If this was the Hunter Biden investigation, then it needed to be public, because in fact the Republican Congress was spending a great deal of attention trying to make sure that everything that was done in the Hunter Biden investigation was made public. And so, sauce for the goose.
Sandy, we sound like a puppet government. The very thing that we condemn other governments for, right before our eyes, is happening in this country.
Well, the notion which we all thought was the norm, which was that the president is not above the law, that he is a fellow citizen, and that while he might have some special privileges during the period of his presidency, that did not extend to his personal exposure to issues that related to his citizenship and his status as a regular citizen. And all of that's been turned on its head most recently, because Donald Trump has tested all the norms, and then he's now had a Supreme Court which seems to have supported him in some fashion by suggesting that his immunity as president is very extensive.
Sandy, it just appears to me that these decisions that are being made aren't being made because of a person who could be the president. They're being made because it's Donald Trump.
And so, yes, I mean, the notion of what was filed was that you can't let this be released because it will put Donald Trump in a bad light.
Yes.
It will say things about him that are not pleasant and will put him in a bad light. Well, a president is not entitled to be shielded from being put in a bad light. I mean, in fact, when you become a public figure, you accept the premise that there will be people and things that will happen that will put you in a bad light. Bill Clinton was certainly put in a bad light over the whole Monica Lewinsky situation. Donald Trump has certainly done many things himself which deserve a bad light, but which he seems to be able to duck. You know, the notion that of Teflon Don is kind of correct with respect to his capacity to absorb insult and shame, apparently with little effort.
855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Hang on.
Who has hurt all mankind just to save his own belief? One love.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a goal.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday, that means Tuesday. My co-host Sandy Williams and Sandy the Music.
Yeah, this is Barack Obama's inauguration music that he selected for his inauguration celebration in 2009.
So, Sandy, one thing I know about you is you're a free speech advocate, and you've always leaned towards free speech. I want to ask you now, Mark Zuckerberg has kind of followed suit with Elon Musk. So Facebook is now considered a free speech platform. They've done away with fact checkers. And so rolled back its censorship policies and say that they're doing it to become a free speech platform. Do you think that that's a good thing?
Well, you know, when you own a business, for instance, and it's a business like Mark Zuckerberg's that's a bulletin board, essentially, for the public to use, there's a tricky situation there associated with your liability. If you decide that you are going to control the content of what is put on your bulletin board, then what gets put on your bulletin board is your responsibility, right? Because you decided it was okay. And so if it's slanderous or libelous, maybe you get sued. On the other hand, if the bulletin board is open to the public for anyone to put up anything they want, and you've announced that that's the way it's going to be, and you aren't going to censor what it is that's put up, then you aren't responsible maybe for what gets put up because you've washed your hands of that. So there might be lawyers behind the scene who are telling Mark Zuckerberg that using the power of censorship to control what it is that's put on your platform might be a problem for you, number one. And number two, I suspect that, you know, when you do exercise that kind of censorship, you are subject to potentially being accused of being biased. And, you know, one person's sin is another person's glory. So, you know, it's hard to exercise that power carefully and without creating a risk associated with the business. Congress would need to enact something to essentially give clarity to what it is that the owner of a platform, first of all, what it is that they are liable for in terms of the content and what power they should exercise to control the content. So either it's a public bulletin board or it's a privately monitored bulletin board.
So Sandy, we see the impact that these things have had on our society. And in many instances, not a positive reality. And so how can it, so if it's not going to be controlled and we see the negative implications of it, especially with children, how do we just ignore all of that?
Well, I suspect what might happen if we don't get legislation is that we'll have something that's called common law. So the English, the laws of slander being when you verbally say something that's malicious and false about somebody and causes damage to them, then you can sue someone for slander. Or if you write it, you're being libelous, and you can and that written word that was maliciously said that is damaging and false can be sued. So maybe what will need to happen is that we'll need to develop a common law principle that allows people to sue these media for things that are said and done which are false, and which are false and misleading and damaging to society at large as a result. So you can envision that maybe there could be a class action brought. But, I mean, this is going to have to be new law. This is going to have to be law that is established outside of legislation and is established by the courts under the principle of common law, which is rights of action that are premised on the old common law of England, and could be something like libel and slander. There could be a cause of action for willful false information and the damage that it does to society.
Hey, Sandy, we just had a young girl in Madison, you know, take a gun and kill some innocent people, and we find out later on that there was another guy involved, and she was interacting with him on a site. And so there are responsibilities that go along with this, Sandy. And I know we can talk about free speech, but you know, it is so damaging to individuals. And you're an attorney, so you see it from the legal perspective. But this is really touchy, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, and if in fact the site should have known or did know that there was that kind of contact ongoing, maybe that is another reason for developing a cause of action to create some legal peril for the kinds of conduct that creates real damage. And I predict that this will happen. We will have causes of action that will be brought to put into legal peril these sites who might otherwise simply exercise a blind eye to the problems they're creating.
All right, let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning. Well, first of all, I think that there is a huge difference between free speech and free lies. And this is what the MAGAs, I won't even call them Republicans anymore because there are very few of those real Republicans left. But this is what the MAGAs have been doing for actually probably since about 2015 or 16, is just broadcasting their lies after lies after lies. And I may have mentioned Hannah Arendt, who studied the Nazis extensively and basically said the purpose of the lies is not to get everybody believing the lies. It's just to confuse people so they don't know right from wrong, truth from lie. The biggest problem I see is not the Facebooks, because most people by now are aware that any information you get off of Facebook, you better verify it someplace else. There are a lot of people who won't bother to do that because it fits their worldview. But most people actually in their reality, they understand that. The problem that I see is not that, but the fact that the media, again, keep accepting these lies repeated again and again by the MAGAs, and there is very little fact-checking, and there's very little rebuttal that's used against them. And if that had been done since day one, when Trump decided to run again, which was almost immediately, if they'd started doing that, I don't think we would be in this kind of a mess that we're in now. That's the bottom line. Somebody's got to take some responsibility, and I think the media they're not civic media that does indeed call out the lies, but most of the mainstream, the big media giants, they seem to be afraid, politically cowered, to do anything about this. That's got to stop. That's really, my opinion, the biggest problem.
Hey, Jack.
So there's my rant for the day.
Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, I think you mentioned that there was a caller. I think Mike from Kenosha has had the idea of having essentially an app that would be public, that would be like Wikipedia,
Truth Chamber,
which would be the Truth Chamber, which would daily take on the notion and maybe do it on a group base. You know, Wikipedia is a group created thing. It's the users create Wikipedia, and the users could also do that. Now, but we need to come up with mechanisms to deal with these problems. I've thought about the mechanism that Bill from EconoWatch described, which I thought was a sound one, of having a national forum for people to express their opinions on a real-time basis so that the politicians and the public would be aware of what the people really thought. And I think we also need to have a systematic way of uncovering truth and uncovering lies to create a level playing field where people can at least be on the same page for basic facts. And we don't have that now. And we've lost that because our media is no longer funded in a way nor independent enough. And furthermore, the Trump strategy is to tell so many falsehoods as to make it impossible to keep up, right? You know, if every day it's the same stuff and more, it becomes something that's very difficult to keep up with.
All right, let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Speaking to Mike, good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Perfect timing. Thank you for the shout out as well. You know, when Congress chooses to not do their job, and in this case, we're talking about regulation of the media, regulation of speech and political speech, that's when we have no other choice but to respond, either that or bend over, one or the other, right? I choose fighting back and standing on my own and our own 2 feet. But the redundancy, to your point and the other caller's point, the redundancy of these lies that are allowed to go on and on and on and on, that has created just a culture of dysfunction. Will be the nicest thing that comes to mind. We have a role to play, we the people in a functioning republic. And if we pass, then we deserve whatever comes our way. My challenge is, when we hear about these misinformation and the redundancy of all these lies that go and are allowed to perpetuate, like the questions on these polls, do you feel America is on the right path? Well, anybody who would respond to that poll, in August, September, October, we know they would say no. America is not on the right path. So again, the polls need supervision, if you will, by we the people. The communications of media in the messaging needs to be verifiable, or it shouldn't be on. Enough is enough. Pandering and cowering to the elites and to the media has run its full course. We've seen the outcome. It's time to demand accountability. The last point I want to make is there's no way our founding fathers would have any conception that communications could go across continents in milliseconds to hundreds of millions of people with a keystroke. So knowing that now and living in the reality of the real world today, we have to put on our 2025 thinking caps and deal with it in today's terms.
Well, Mike, I would only say, let me just interrupt you for a minute, because I think all of this is with the best intention, but I'm afraid that the road to hell can be paved that same way. And that, you know, the notion that we can figure out how to control the words is a very slippery slope. You know, it's 1984. It is was a book written about the very concept. So we do have to do something about this, and we have to find mechanisms to hold the feet to the fire of those who have these platforms.
So, guys,
I'd be very worried about government regulation.
Sandy, hang on, and Mike, hang on. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844. 855-752-4842. Just 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host Sandy. So Sandy, we had Mike hang on because we were talking about, you know, the fact that what's the guy's name for Facebook? Zuckerberg.
Well, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah,
well, you know,
he's decided to follow the same path as Elon Musk and allow people to put whatever it is they want to put on his site. And let me ask you then, Sandy, there's a difference between legislation and regulation, right?
Legislation can be regulation, right?
Right.
I mean, so regulation has to be authorized by legislation. The government can't simply decide to regulate something if there isn't a law that's been passed that authorizes the government to regulate that thing. So regulation follows from legislation. And the problem with regulating speech is that it's always been a slippery slope. And you know, the one government that decides to regulate it in the way that you find appealing might be different when a different government is placed and decides to regulate the things that you think ought to be admissible on the air. And so it's a very complex matter. I personally think that the way it will get resolved is to create private causes of action like we have now for libel and slander. In England, it's far easier to prove a case of slander and libel than it is here in the United States. And what we need in the United States is a standard for holding the platform's feet to the fire if they allow things to happen on the platform which are dangerous to the public, either from the standpoint of perpetrating facts which are untrue or perpetrating conduct which is dangerous, like this young woman in Madison who might have been promoted, or at least her action might have been caused by her interaction with someone over a site. But the idea of a government regulating it, I think when you get down to thinking about how that would be carried out, who would carry it out, and what things that they would be able to regulate, you would figure out that it's a very slippery slope and one which is hard. It's a bridge you don't want to cross.
Mike?
Yeah, well, you know, and I hear you. Sandy, loud and clear, you're absolutely right. It is very, very difficult and very hard work. But since when has America ever turned its back because it's a tough job? You know, say that to the founding fathers when they were battling it out, you know, hundreds of years ago and form our nation. The easy way is seldom the best way out. You know, it takes hard work and commitment and dedication in order to pull things off, including having a thriving, prosperous republic that governs for all people and not creating this oligarchy, too big to fail, too big to jail, too big to hold, accountability world that we're in. So I have to end this. My opinion on this piece is, so what if it's hard work?
If people I didn't say it was hard work, Mike. I would disagree with you fundamentally. So, you know, this isn't the notion that it's difficult to do. I think it's, from the standpoint of civil liberties, impossible to do without the risks of danger being greater than the risks that you're curing. But you can create private rights of action where the government isn't the perpetrator of the standards, but rather courts are. Private rights of action, which could probably have a greater effect than the action of a government.
This president-elect has threatened retribution against those who speak against him. You know, we must grow up and recognize that we are in a very, very unique time. And when we see that all of a sudden there are values of this nation to where, you know, all of a sudden the oligarchs rule, they're unaccountable, they can do whatever they want. My gosh, people can go to war. And hundreds of thousands of people can die. But hey, you know, we don't want to rock the boat. It's too hard to, you know, I get it. But you know what? My challenge is right and wrong. We all know what's right and wrong. We all know what's fair and what's not. Let's start acting like that. It's not in our common interest to solve these very, very difficult, tough problems. You know, we talked about economics in the national economic structure and finance is so complicated. Sure it is. That's because we've weakened the public oversight. You know, the consumer finance groups and so, other consumer groups.
Yeah. So, Mike, thank you. Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, you know, he's absolutely right that there's plenty of ways that the government does need to regulate us and to regulate us to create a better, stronger form of capitalism that will be sustainable and will share the wealth amongst the people in a better manner. But we started out this conversation talking about regulating speech, and that's where I say we're on a slippery slope.
Sandy, we lost you. So thank you. Thank you, and thank everybody who made the show go. Up next, Matt Nair and Greg Bott, Matt Nair on Air. See you guys on tomorrow.
A girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.